Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Thank you, Bill. Such beautiful music. Good morning, friends. I am Reverend Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired deacon still serving here at this church in retirement as part of the pastoral care team, and it is wonderful to be with you this morning in worship. Couple things going on. This is a church that wants to know God, love God, and serve God. We do that in a large variety of ways, and so if you grab your connection card, you will see some of those things that you can get involved in. Fill this out. Let us know you are here and how we might be able to connect you to some of the activities going on here. We also have prayer cards in the pew racks. There is a group that meets every Thursday morning here. They pray for the prayer concerns that come in on these cards. They pray for the church and the community and the clergy here, and they are an amazing group. So we want to thank them for their sharing their spiritual gifts, but please take advantage of that as well. Today we have Carol Kapuska, who's going to be leading us in prayer, and Tom is going to be reading scripture for us this morning. Sunday school is downstairs. I don't see any little ones at the moment. They must have already snuck down there without telling us. So they'll be enjoying that, and we do hear them every once in a while. If you're really careful and sit on that side, you can hear some nice laughter coming up from downstairs. It's wonderful to hear. Some announcements this morning. This is a busy time of the year. We recognize that. I'm sure you're all, I've already heard a couple stories out there of somebody starting to do their Christmas shopping and leaving at 9 in the morning and getting home at 4 in the evening and not stopping. So please take care of yourselves while you're out there running around. But also, please take advantage of all the things going on here. Tonight, we have the Hope for Christmas program. It is at 5 p.m. It is a service of prayer and contemplation, and for those who are needing a little extra help finding the joy and the hope at Christmas, please come and be a part of that. The children's musical is next Sunday, also at 5 o'clock, and you can find the specific information in the bulletin as well as our worship schedule for Christmas Eve. For those of you who have been here for many years, you know that we'll have all the services here on Christmas Eve, 3 p.m. at Whitmore Lake, but 5, 7, 9, and 11 here. And which one is live streamed? The 7. The 7 o'clock service will be live streamed if, I hope not, inclement weather might keep you from joining us that night. We are going to bring Advent into our worship in just a minute with the lighting of the candles and prayer, scripture. I would like to just let you know that when we begin the song, A Star Shone Bright, that'll be after the announcements, we're going to ask you to remain seated, please. And I think that is it. So welcome to worship, everyone. Let's pray.
Good morning. The season of Advent continues. We join with a joyous, hopeful throng in the lighting of the Advent candles, symbols of our faith and signs of God's love. Today, we gather as people on the journey of hope. Christian people around the world stand today in breathless anticipation of the miracle that has been repeated for hundreds of years, yet that astounds us each a new year. Our hope springs anew from an ancient vision. As we light the second Advent candles, let it stand for hope based not on wishful thinking, but on deep conviction. We believe, we have seen, we have received, and received the promised Prince of Peace, and therefore, in the midst of hardship, pain, or grief, we hope. We gather expectantly, joyfully, and with deep commitment, for we have heard that a special child is to come, that God is to be among us, and that soon we will see a new creation on earth. We light the candle of hope, remembering that we are the people of hope, and Jesus is the hope of the world. Okay, you want to light? Okay, come here. Please rise for the opening hymn. Okay, you're all done.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord of hope, as we gather for worship, we lift the hopeless into your care. We know that God helps. We lift the lost into your care. We know that God saves. We lift the hurting into your care. We know that God delivers. Help us to believe in your promise of hope, like Jesus' mother Mary. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
scripture lesson this morning is from Luke 1, 26, 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today's prayers, these need to be entered into the system.
Okay, great. Is there anything interesting in there?
Well, there's the usual personal prayers, plus send a mighty king.
Mighty king.
Send a ruler omnipotent.
Omnipotent.
Somebody to deal with Herod.
Oh, yeah, that Herod.
Oh, and get this one. Write this down. A powerful force.
Powerful force.
To unite our world.
Boy, it never ends.
I know, but can you blame them? They've been praying and hoping for so long.
I bring you tidings of good news.
What?
What's going on?
The boss has decided to answer their prayers.
Which prayers? The ones for a donkey or a camel?
No, the ones asking for a leader.
Great. So how is this going to unfold? What's going to happen?
Well, wait. Let me scroll down here. Oh, my gosh. They're going to love this technology someday.
Yeah, come on. Hurry.
Well, I'm not sure that I understand this.
What's there to understand? When is he arriving, and how is he going to arrive? Is it going to be, like, on a star? Is it going to be on the top of a mountain? Is he going to slide down a rainbow? Wait, it's going to be an incredible event. He's going to arrive in a ball of fire. It will be amazing. People will have to guard their eyes.
No. Says here, he will arrive as a baby.
A baby? What kind of sense does that make?
Hey, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just reading what it says here.
Okay, whatever. So a baby is to be born to an existing king, like a good king.
Not exactly. A baby is to be born to a young mother, and the earthly father is a carpenter.
Okay, so this baby, at least it'll be like a child prodigy, right?
No, don't count on it. His ministry won't begin until he is 30.
30?
30.
What kind of impact can he make if he doesn't get started until he's 30? And why do you keep saying the word ministry? Shouldn't you be saying his reign?
You'd think, but he's not ever going to be a king. Not in the way we think of kings. He is going to be a teacher and will call his disciples to help him spread God's message of love and hope.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me sum this up.
Mm-hmm.
So God is answering all these prayers from his people,
mm-hmm.
but sending a baby who isn't going to do anything for 30 years.
Yep, you've got it.
Okay, but then his ministry, there's that word,
mm-hmm.
is going to last for years and years, right? Like forever and ever, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Sorry. Well, his teaching will survive for thousands of years, but he will leave his earthly home after 3 years.
3 years? What kind of an impact is going to happen in 3 years? Now, I know God is always up to something, but I'm worried.
Do not be afraid, for nothing will be impossible with the hope of the world.
Okay, this really is big news.
Huge. Let's get ready for the hope of the world.
Awesome.
Okay, so first of all, I think we need to have like a choir of angels.
Music.
Like,
wait, let's get
music.
A praise band. Praise band, music. I hear. Yes. The Archangel Michael's available.
He goes by Mike.
Okay, okay, we'll call him Mike.
Okay, and then a star. I hope there's a star, like a bright
cute.
Star that'll big feel
cute.
Heaven.
Cute. Oh, and snacks.
Snacks.
Oh, you can make a list.
That, yeah, we can't
let's
have
make
a potluck.
That's the deal changer.
Yeah, potluck, too
that
much
That will
work.
Bring the people in.
Snacks. There'll be a praise band with Mike. I love it. Amen. Dear church, please join me in a spirit of prayer.
Oh, God of signs and wonders, God of angels among us, God of great joy, we welcome you. We welcome you this day. We welcome your word again and again, seeking understanding and new life that it offers. By the power of your Holy Spirit, illumine our hearts and minds so that we may discover the great beauty of your word and the power of your truth and the hope of the living Christ. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer, our everlasting source of hope. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Prince of Peace, our hope and joy of the world, our love divine, we pray these things. Amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I enjoyed a morning with our preschool children at First Steps Preschool. Walking down the hallways and then down the stairs into the preschool area, I noticed that the walls were brightly colored and the coats and the backpacks were neatly hung into their place. And there were photos of the children up on the walls. And waiting outside of their preschool classroom until it was time for me to come, I could hear these joyful little noises, kind of like Deacon Loretta mentioned, you can hear the Sunday school children downstairs, but I could hear these delightful, joyous little sounds of children laughing and teachers giving instructions and bodies were just busying about. And I peeked into the doors of the preschool classroom, and I noticed it was time to enter, and so I made my way in. I joined the children and the teachers on the rug for a circle time because I was there to share a story with the children just a handful of days before Thanksgiving. And I enjoyed gathering with the preschool children several times throughout the year to share stories and smiles and times of mutual learning back and forth. And on the day that I arrived with a book in hand, I came, it was with a Thanksgiving book. I was ready to read. And the children joined me at circle time, and a few voices were quietly hushed, and the pages of the book were opened. And then I began to read, and the children quickly caught on that the pages of the story were recalling a journey of a little girl, and the little girl was recalling the many things in her life for which she was giving God thanks. And then at the close of our time together, I invited the children to share something that they were very thankful for. And like preschool children do, hands shot up and little bodies kind of came up off the floor and their eyes were bright and they were enthusiastic to share. And one child said, "Well, I'm thankful for my mom and dad," this little girl said. Another hand shot up and said, "I'm thankful for my dog," a little boy said. He piped up. "And I'm thankful for my house and my toys and my Barbies and my Legos and my brother and sister," and some other children shared. And because Thanksgiving was coming and just up around the bend, one child said, "Well, I'm thankful for food and treats and pumpkin pie." All these little voices piped up in their cute little voices. And I read the story to the children, and we heard all about the Thanksgiving blessings that they shared. And there, sitting on that brightly colored carpet inside their classroom, I saw joy and wonder in each child's eyes. The stories were plentiful, and the enthusiasm, there was more energy in a room and enthusiasm than any room you could possibly enter, and the time quickly passed. And as I looked into the faces of each child, you saw a smile upon them, and I saw hope emerge. And I saw the Spirit of God fill the room. Hope was discovered that day in the preschool classroom, and hope filled each child's face. Hope filled the room as the children recalled all of the blessings in their life, giving thanks. And everything that they named was something they were thankful for, and it was also just something that they were incredibly hopeful for and glad to have a part of their life. I look forward to coming this week, again, to sharing another story. I'll be sharing about the Christmas story with the kids. They'll be hearing another great story that's hope-filled. They'll be learning about the great hope of the world to be born in a child named Jesus. This morning, Tom read for us the gospel lesson from Luke, and this morning we also discovered a child, I guess you could say, a young woman. She was older than the 3- and 4-year-old preschool students, but she wasn't much older, maybe only a decade older. This young woman in Scripture is probably 13 or 14 years old, only maybe 10 years the senior to these first steps preschool children. And from the Scripture lesson, we meet this young woman named Mary. We know her name. We know her well. Let's note that she's actually a woman named in the Scripture here. Women are often unnamed in the Bible, but she had an important role to play, so she was given a name by the biblical author. And what takes place is probably something that Mary never saw coming. An angel, a special messenger, comes and gives a proclamation and an announcement of a pregnancy, not just some pregnancy, but her pregnancy. She's probably curious about how such pregnancy is going to take place, and then there's this humble willingness to follow God's leading. It unfolds in just 12 verses that Tom read for us. You know, I often wonder, what else took place within that conversation? Like, what was Mary's inner monologue? What was the angel kind of censoring? Or what was the angel's inner monologue, right? It's a fascinating story that gets read every year. It probably leaves out some details, a detail or two. We get this abridged version, this short, compact version. It leaves me thinking, what on earth was Mary really thinking? What else did the angel share? Do you ever just get curious when you read the gospel lessons? But nonetheless, we discover a scripture passage this morning that brings us great hope. Within these words of scripture from the gospel writer, we discover that it's not just some kind of like fun hope, but there's going to be hope for the world. That a child's going to be born. A child's going to be born named Jesus, meaning Emmanuel, God with us. He's going to save the people, and his kingdom, it will have no end. His kingdom is going to be so different than any earthly ruling, reigning king. It's going to be a kind of a twisted upside down, make you thinking off the top of your feet, off the top of your head, kingdom that is so different. It's a hope-filled kingdom. Within these 12 verses, there's so much packed in. We not only meet Mary, but we discover this little detail in there, that she's from Nazareth. Do you ever read the scripture readings, and unless you've maybe walked in the Holy Land, like actually, you know, walked through the landscape of the Holy Land, took a flight there, sometimes it's easy to gloss over all those details of like of towns and places and locations, but it's fun to learn that Mary's from Nazareth, this small town of 100, maybe 400 people at most at the time. Today it's a little larger, 72,000 people or so. And it's fun to note in this, in a little more about Nazareth, that it was a town of peasants. Many people lived there that were had kind of humble beginnings. Folks that earned a humble wage. Not the proud kings, not that you're not finding the great rulers necessarily there, but humble folks. They flocked to Nazareth. They lived there because of a great source of water. Well, within these 12 verses of scripture, it's actions packed, and we discover this news of Mary's pregnancy, this grand announcement of the child, and it's shared with us all by an angel. Last week in Bible study at our Whitmore Lake campus, I was with them, and our Whitmore Lake campus, we had such great conversation around angels, particularly the angel that's in the scripture this morning and the news that was going to be shared. But we started chatting a lot about angels, and you might remember that angel is a messenger. In Mary's day, she received this news of this upcoming birth from a messenger. It came with good news. This messenger had a word of hope to be born. This messenger brought glad tidings of great joy. Now, I don't know what your thoughts or feelings or images are of angels. Maybe you think angel and you can think of, of our angels up here this morning doing our skit. Maybe you believe in angels with wonderful wings and sparkly halos, like we see in the reenactments of children at Christmas Eve or from our angels here. Now, I don't necessarily believe in that kind of a concept of sparkly, wings and halos, though it's fun, but I certainly believe in angels in the context of everyday, your average person type of angels among us. I believe that everyday people can be messengers from God. Everyday people can bring good news into this world and be about the work of bringing good news into this world. Throughout our Advent study, we're waiting in this great anticipation of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in this time of waiting and preparation and counting down with Advent wreath candles, I'm curious in this waiting, I'm curious how you might be a messenger, an angel. I'm curious how you might be a messenger of hope in the world. I'm curious how you might be a messenger of good news, how you might seek to intentionally bring about good news of great hope to this world. It doesn't take long to turn on the news stations or open up your phone or even check social media or chat with a loved one and a friend and discover stories of heartbreak and discover stories of needing healing, discover stories of war and conflict and pain and grief. It doesn't take long to discover folks that experience hopelessness in their lives. So I'm curious how you might hear those stories, receive them, and share a moment of hope with a hurting world. I'm curious how you could be an everyday, ordinary angel among us. Angels are not only fascinating biblical characters to think about, but the angel is certainly there, but Mary is also this incredible biblical character for us to think about, this amazing woman of faith. Because upon hearing this messenger from God, and upon hearing this good news that the angel has to share, she humbly accepted it. She accepted this challenge. She accepted this calling from God via this angel to bring about bringing hope into this world. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were Mary, I would have some serious doubt and some major conversation some follow-up questions. I'd be thinking, me? What? Who? How? How's this going to work out? But when we read the scripture passage, we hear a different response from Mary. There's not all this doubt. We hear a faithful willingness to receive this call and act upon it. From Luke chapter 1, verse 38, we hear these words of Mary that says, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. She had the boldness and the brave, courageous spirit to take upon and accept this calling. She's not a meek and mild, passive little 13 or 14-year-old girl. She is a brave and a bold and a courageous and a fierce woman who's willing to take upon this call from God to be about bringing hope and joy and peace in the world through Jesus Christ. I don't know how you see Mary, but she's brave and strong and courageous in my mind. She's a brave, strong woman, willing to take upon the challenge, willing to risk a few whispers her way, willing to stand up in face of a culture. You might remember that would you know, pregnant out of wedlock, right? Risk the stoning, but she is a brave and courageous woman. Let's take pause and really contemplate Mary's faithful response. Let's pause and soak it in how she was willing to take upon this call, this challenging call, and be about God's work in the world. Today, I hope we'll also pause and think about how we might be able to be messengers of God's hope in the world as angels. I look forward to coming back this week and sharing another great story with our preschool kids. A story of hope. A story of joy, but a story of hope made visible in this world. My challenge to you, church, is this: throughout this Advent season, may you embrace that Mary spirit, may you embrace that angel spirit, and may you hear the scriptures and receive it with great joy and thankfulness, and really read and meditate on its message of hope for the world. Let's pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks that you are the Prince of Peace, the hope of the world, the joy made visible, the love divine. We give you thanks, God, that in a world that needs hope, you have offered it to us, not in the form of a big, great, grandiose king, but in the form of a humble, sweet baby boy. For this, we give you thanks and praise. May we live and be signs of hope in the world for all to know. Amen.
As you came on that Good morning. My name is Carol Kapuska. I'm your worship host this morning. So as we enter a time of prayer, first of all, I have to apologize if I go into a coughing jag because this is the time of year for coughing. If anybody needs a throat lozenge, I have a family pack of throat lozenges down there. And that's also why I sound like I'm one octave higher than James Earl Jones. So I apologize for that up front. But today, our sermon was on hope, and this was the theme of today. So I was thinking about what hope meant for me, and it was interesting because a lot of times we throw around the word hope when we say things like, oh, I hope that Wendy's has a Diet Cherry Coke in their freeform machine, or oh, I hope when I stand up my skirt isn't up around my waist because the static cling, or oh, I hope that the Culver's has a really good flavor for their concrete mixer today. So we use the term hope a lot. Did you notice a theme of mine was a lot of food related things? I hope a lot about food. And so I was thinking about that, but then I thought about the word hope and that word that means so much more, that word that gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling, that word that, as Pastor Lindsay was talking, I'm sitting and staring into the candles and I'm thinking, hope, that feeling that bubbles up inside you and makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside, but also that feeling that's missing for those people that use the word hopelessness. And so that's how I created my prayer for us today, is the feeling of that huge emotion, that huge warm feeling that we get on hope. So as we go through prayer, also I want to draw your attention to our prayer quilts today. We have three of them, one for Judy Cook, one for Sandy Delasky, and one for Marguerite Doan. So when we say prayers, let's don't forget those prayers that we need to say. So let's pray. Gracious and loving God, a God that gives us hope for the present and for those times in the future, you sent your only Son to walk among us. You saw hope in humanity. You see hope in humanity. We pray for your hope to be ours, that your light will shine down on us and remind us of the reason for this season, the remembrance of a child being born. In the world today, in this very congregation, perhaps some of you in pews this morning may be experiencing weariness or hopelessness. During these times, statements come to mind such as, my situation will never get better. I feel like giving up. No one can help me. But through words such as those found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, we are reminded that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Thank you for that hope, Lord. Those uplifting reminders of the power of hope and how it is all tied to you. We tend to feel more hopeless and depressed when we feel we have no control over a situation, have no way to change it, when we feel that we have no social connections or feel isolated. But thank you, God, for giving us strength when we are weary and reminding us that the results of whatever situation are not uncertain, but that, God, you will renew our strength. God, you are so great. And while we may have limitations, you do not. Our faith in you allows for that feeling of control and the social circle of support that is all of those who hope in the Lord. Provide us comfort and strength. We pray that our feeling of hope today spreads beyond these walls, that you share that hope with those that are experiencing great grief and loss, those that are ill in body, mind, or spirit. We pray that we can share hope as well, the hope that comes with believing in you, hope for peace, hope for those suffering violence, hope of justice for those that are victimized. We pray that you send us out as your hands and feet during this season, but also all year long. Send us out to help those without shelter, those cold and lonely, help those with whatever they may need. And now let's spend some silent time in meditation and prayer to you. And now let's join our voices to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory, and the glory forever. Amen.
I would invite those who will be communion servers to come forward and come gather with us at the table. This morning we gather as a community of faith, daring to live and be and experience hope in this world. We come seeking hope, knowing that Jesus offers us hope in times of suffering, hope in times of pain, hope in times of grief and sorrow. That Jesus offers us living hope. And we come this day gathering at the communion table to seek and receive and know that very hope that Jesus has to offer us. We come this day remembering that on the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, that there and gathered in the upper room of a community of faith, that Jesus took bread and he gave thanks to God for it. He looked into the eyes of each disciple there and he said, "Take and eat, for this is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, then Jesus took a cup and he gave thanks again to God for it. He blessed it and he gave it to the disciples saying, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." The cup of hope given for us.
And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving. As a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died,
Christ has risen, Christ will come again.
May you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and of the cup. May they be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. The table has been prepared for us, and as the ushers invite you, you can come forward to receive the elements. At the center, there will be a small plate of gluten-free elements for those that need to have gluten-free bread that is available to you, and we will have baskets of bread to serving stations as well as receiving of the cup. And I might note that when you come forward to receive the cup, you'll receive a small little cup of juice there. And as you leave and return to your seat, there will be some trash cans nearby that you can receive the juice and throw away your cup into the trash can. Won't you come and receive at the instruction of the ushers?
You think I remember how to do this? It hasn't been that long. If you are a visitor here, please know that at this time of offering, our offering is to thank and welcome you. Do not feel obligated as the basket passes by. Please put your connection cards in the baskets as well. But our offerings today will continue to help the many ministries. As you see in the community room, there's a lot going on. There's a lot in the bulletin. This church is very active, and it is through your financial support that we can do all the things that we do here. And so I would invite the ushers to come forward to receive today's offering.
Bless the offerings we bring forward today. Use the gifts we bring to spread your promise of hope to the hopeless. In your name we pray. Amen.
Church, this day, this week, this Advent season, how might you be a messenger of God's hope in this world? How might you live as an angel among us to spread hope for all to see and hear and experience? And how might you, like Mary, take on a call, even when it is challenging, to bring good news into this world? May we go forth with peace, knowing God's hope is always there, real and present. Go forth this day to serve God and love neighbor. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.